Welcome to this podcast produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is Children's Emotional Development and Needs and features Mary Ann Walsh in an interview with Dana Bolton.
Hi, I'm Dana Bolton, the contributing editor of Imagine Magazine. And today I'm here with Mary Ann Walsh. And thank you for joining me today on this Imagine podcast. The COVID-19 pandemic has raised great concerns for children's social, emotional development and mental health and well-being by caregivers, service providers, and professional organizations. In this year's Imagine podcast series, we would like to find out about challenges you face, how you promote good social, emotional development and mental health in infants and young children, and what supports you give to their parents, caregivers, and communities. And we have 10 questions for you today. So first of all, where do you work and what is your role?
So I very previously worked at Branches Counseling Center in Murfreesboro for about 2.5 years as the children's mental health counselor there. I very recently moved to Denver and will be starting as a therapist at a residential eating disorder facility for youth. So that'll be my new position.
Awesome. That's quite a change, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. So what's on your mind when you read about the difficulties in social emotional development among young children due to the COVID-19 pandemic?
So I definitely saw a rise in the emotional needs of the kids. They needed a lot more security and more assurance that they and their families were going to be okay, you know, which is a really hard thing. You can't confirm that due to just the unpredictability of COVID. So you don't want to make those promises. You know, they lost a lot of their social outlets, you know, not being able to see their friends or their peers. And just their settings and routines were just, you know, off, which caused a lot of emotional distress. And then, of course, along with the struggles that the kids were experiencing, their parents were also under a lot of stress, dealing with their own mental health needs or emotional needs and financial worries. And so I noticed that the kids often fed off of that, which just created, you know, a lot more stress for them as well. And so, you know, that impacted the children's emotional and social needs and unintentionally caused a lot of worry and fear. So there's definitely a rise in the emotional needs of the kids during COVID.
Right. So how has COVID-19 affected the mental health of your clients? Like what sorts of behaviors did you see a rise in, or just what kind of trends did you notice?
Definitely a rise in anxiety overall with the kids that I was currently seeing, and then an increase in the kids that would, you know, coming to me. I had a lot more of children coming just specifically for anxiety, as well as OCD behaviors, you know, a lot more hand washing just because it's what they're being told. Right. And so that created a lot of development and some OCD behaviors. Fear was also a big deal, fear of, you know, the unknown. So I had to teach a lot of children how to let go of what was out of their control and focus on more of what they can control, specifically with COVID.
Right. So what are some behaviors that caregivers can look out for that might be a sign that their child is struggling with anxiety?
Sometimes it can come out as just a lot of worry and asking what if questions. I will say that's a big tell that you have some anxiety and some worry, just fear of what if this happens, what if that happens. A lot of more intense emotions, I will say, is definitely a behavior that's pretty common. And also sometimes it comes out as anger, you know, kind of as a defensive emotion. You know, sometimes that creates acting out behaviors, which doesn't necessarily mean they're being a bad kid. There's just a lot of emotions going on that they're having a hard time controlling.
Right. Okay. So how did you adjust your services to meet those mental health needs during the pandemic?
Yeah, well, just with this increase of all the anxiety and fear, as well as other mental health challenges, I really had to explore different ways to help the children feel safe and secure, and how to teach the parents to do the same. And so, you know, like I said, this doesn't include assuring the children that, you know, they or their family won't be affected by COVID. Right. But I helped them, you know, identify what they had control over, and reinforcing ways for them to feel safe during this time that's so unpredictable. And so that included, you know, being aware of their own physical health, you know, washing their hands and wearing masks when it's required. Those are things that they can kind of focus on that is in their control.
Right.
And then, of course, teaching calming techniques for when, you know, the anxiety kind of builds up, focusing more on their, what I call their thinking brain, when their feelings brain gets, you know, heightened, developing coping skills, deep breathing, focusing on the present, all these different techniques to kind of help them control those emotions and get that under control.
I know our last year's issue is all about telehealth. Did you do any telehealth during that time?
Yes. Yes, I did. I did some telehealth, for all ages. And it was a challenge, I will say, specifically for the younger kids with focus and being able to sit and not having as hands-on, you know, activities to do with them. But, you know, it was better than not being able to see the kids.
Right. So what are some ways to help children struggling with pandemic-related stress, fear, or grief through your play therapy interventions? And were there any ways that you used music in those interventions?
Yeah, so I, working with kids, I primarily focused on play therapy techniques. It's a great way to reach children. You know, that's kind of what they know. That's their way of interacting with others. And so it kind of provides them with the tools that they need to be able to express themselves. And a lot of the times, just having something hands-on to do during therapy can be a good way to meet them where they're at. And so that definitely allowed me to be able to relate with them on their level in order to then talk about these hard things. Mm-hmm. You know, what's going on in the world and how that's affecting their emotions. And I did use a little bit of music. You know, I had kids who really were musical and just really loved listening to songs. And so we kind of used that as a way to, okay, let's identify some songs that you feel help calm you down. Yeah. So kind of focusing on that and the words and the lyrics as a way to help them, you know, calm their brain down and calm their body down.
I know you do a lot of work with like sand trays. Can you describe what that looks like?
Yes. Sand tray is a very, very cool tool. A lot of kids are really drawn to it. First of all, the sand, it's soft and it's soothing and, you know, it's just a neat thing that they don't always get to play with, especially indoors. So there are what are called miniatures. So with different characters, different people, and then, you know, random items. I'm thinking off the top of my head, you know, little treasure chests or little buildings, little toolkits, just little tiny items that, you know, help with creating a scene. And so in the sand, you will typically identify which of these characters do you feel like is you today? You know, maybe one is the angry Jack-Jack from Incredibles, if they're feeling angry, or, you know, different characters that they help them just really relate to themselves and other people and family members. And so they can kind of create a scene in the sand with all the miniatures. And it helps just give them a different perspective of what's going on inside. Just another way for them to use tools to really relate to their emotions.
That sounds like fun.
It's a lot of fun.
How can parents help nurture their child's mental health?
I think by helping the children identify their emotions, being patient and listening when their child is in distress. You know, helping them to develop and practice ways that they can express those emotions in a healthy way. Sometimes kids get really overwhelmed and they, you know, haven't had as much time in their life as we have, and they don't know how to handle those big emotions. And like I said, sometimes that can come out as anger mm-hmm. and, you know, negative behaviors. And so a lot of times it's easier to focus on the negative behavior instead of what's causing the behavior, what's behind it. And so having that patience to really help them, you know, relate to them and talk about what's really going on can just help them overall with making better choices and understanding their emotions to help them just deal with everyday life.
Right. Right. And this kind of goes into our next question. I know as a parent that sometimes when I'm under stress and my mental health is not, you know, where it needs to be, that it can be hard to respond, you know, positively to my child when I know he's struggling. And I know, like you said, you know, during the pandemic, you had the kids not only under stress, but the parents under stress as well. So how can we best support communities to build sustainable mental health and well-being for infants and young children and their families together?
I think that recognizing the need for early childhood development, emotional needs, mental needs, it's extremely important. You know, children's early development is what helps mold them for the rest of their life. So it's a really crucial time for them developmentally. And, you know, their interactions in early childhood can either positively or negatively affect them. So having awareness of a child's need early on can just benefit the children, the family, the community, and being able to kind of like what you said, if you know, a parent's under distress and it's hard to deal with the challenging child, helping the, you know, the parent understand that taking care of themselves first mm-hmm. isn't a selfish thing. It's right. helping them and helping the child. So just overall, just being aware of the importance of early intervention and early development.
Right. Yeah. That whole idea of you got to put the oxygen mask on yourself yep. before you help someone else.
Absolutely. It's a great way to just compare it.
Yeah. So what resources do you recommend for families or other caregivers?
So one resource in particular that I used extensively during my time at Branches, it's called Big Life Journal. She, the creator, has a website. It's wonderful. Just different programs for practitioners and for parents. She provides trainings, resources you can print off, ways to kind of help encourage and support the child's emotional and mental and social development, and kind of also ways to help a family kind of come together and bond and build that relationship. It's a really, really great resource. I highly encourage it. She's fantastic.
Yeah, I think I actually have some stuff from there. I just haven't pulled it out yet.
But yeah. She's fantastic, has really wonderful resources. Also, Daniel Siegel, Dr. Dan Siegel, his books and his trainings are amazing. One book in particular that I've referred a lot of parents to read is The Whole Brain Child, mm-hmm. and it just really helps a parent understand what's going on in the child's mind when they have just different, you know, mental health challenges or emotional challenges or just development in general, what they're going through.
Right. Awesome. Those are great resources. So what are your hopes for these pandemials, for these kids that are really growing up in this pandemic? I mean, I started thinking about my own son and, you know, it's been 2 years and he's 7. So that's, you know, practically a third of his life that he's lived, you know, through this pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy to think about, but this is kind of becoming just routine normal for, mm-hmm. for young kids. And so, I would say just continuing to create a sense of safety in their world when it currently may not feel safe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, helping them feel as normal as they can, but also not restricting them from living everyday life. I know it's a balance mm-hmm. for sure. Wanting your children to stay safe and healthy, but also wanting them to be able to live a normal life. And so creating those safety boundaries, but also not instilling fear mm-hmm. and restrictions.
Right. And then lastly, can you just share some advice for our listeners while they're facing this mental health crisis?
I think that's something we can all work on is just being aware of your own emotions during this time and, you know, practicing self-care. It can be really easy to ignore our emotions, especially with everything going on that needs to be dealt with. You know, people are being let go, losing their jobs. And so that feels like a more necessary thing to focus on. But, and so sometimes it's easy to push our emotions aside. And so being able to recognize them and to be present and realize, you know, how what we're feeling affects the decisions we make, the way we approach situations and interact with others. And so just kind of taking a minute to be present and recognize what you're feeling and being able to practice that identification and develop just different positive ways to handle those big emotions just can really influence and impact our positive emotional, you know, well-being.
Yeah, that's important for all of us to remember.
Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your insights with us today.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2022.